Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 149. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting to my left is Ken Phillips. What's up, good sir?
Hey, man. Glad to be back recording again. This is, as we discussed earlier, this is more fun than home renovations, Kevin.
It certainly is more fun than home renovations.
Yeah.
Home renovations, they are rewarding, but they are labor intensive and, they tend to take longer than you think almost every time.
Yeah. Podcast, you know, pretty much how long it's going to take you.
Yeah, we have this pretty much down to science. Like it is kind of starting to scare me that, well, it has helped, including more real life. I don't know if I want to say it that way. But we didn't really cover the Steelers as much, and I do feel like I've tried to cover bases more with architecture stories. You know, things that maybe are a little more personally familiar than some of our older topics, which are fun to. It's always fun to read about the science of the world, the modern world, and the crazy shit that's going on, but, you know, maybe I don't have as much hands-on experience about, you know, like, dyeing my eyes so that I can see at night the biohackers, that we've, covered a couple of times, you know?
No, I don't think me and you have personal experience with that sort of thing, but, yeah, just, I haven't seen, I guess, if I saw a story like that, I'd probably still put it up there.
oh, yeah. Yeah.
We just cover, you know, I don't know, we probably don't have a standard topic list probably in general. Just
no.
Not one that makes any sense.
No. Does it interest us? Yes, it can be a topic. Yeah. It's pretty much where it goes. But it is, it has been a hobby horse of ours, not on air, to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers for many a years. Mm. And, you know, it has been fun to bring it to the airwaves. It does make planning a show even easier, knowing that we are going to chew up plenty of time talking about one of our favorite teams. I mean, I would say that's probably your favorite team. I still, personally, my investment in the Pittsburgh Penguins is probably a little higher than that of the Steelers. But still, football is football, you know? Like, there's no way to compare it. Like, you know, I can go anywhere and run into football fans. I am not always going to go somewhere and run into hockey fans.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess you're saying that we're making a savvy move here by covering football, since it's so popular as a sport. And maybe, eye injections are not as popular. I haven't done the audience research on this, but
well,
I can imagine that.
It is implied in our show name, too, OPA. There has been a lot of O and a lot of PA matchups here as of late for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, yeah, I mean, we just had one, didn't we, Kevin?
We had a triple threat of O's, honestly. We had game number one in Cleveland with the infamous Miles Garrett, Mason Rudolph moment. Then we got to watch the Steelers be saved by one Duck Hodges against the Cincinnati Bengals. Wow. to keep them winless. And this week, in our triple O opponents here, Cleveland Browns again. And I did see that someone else has a very similar schedule where I believe the Texans and Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, one of the other teams that's in the wild card race there with the Steelers. They do Texans, another game, and then Texans to end the season.
It did feel strange to be playing two teams such back-to-back way there. I don't remember that happening necessarily in the past.
Yeah, I know that someone mentioned that they were trying that the NFL was intentionally putting more of the division games at the end of the season to help make the division races kind of heat up near the end.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So I don't know if that was, but I mean, just knowing that someone, some other, at least one other team, and I mean, I'm by no means an expert at this, but you know, obviously the NFL did this for a couple of opponents, and it does seem that because Tennessee and them are who was the other team? Oh, the Texans. They're in the same division too, so I mean, yeah. It does leave it in the same position that the Steelers and the Browns were in. And it was really wild to have the games turn around that quickly. And you know, one thing that did not happen this past Sunday that I was expecting, I would have to say that cooler heads prevailed. In this matchup, just in general, like I heard that there was a little scuffle to start the game when I was still in the car and listening to it. Actually, I did not mind the Browns radio announcers. I could not find the Steelers station.
Oh, interesting.
So I was listening to the Browns feed for about the first half a quarter. They mentioned something about a minor scuffle occurring there early in the first quarter, but in general, I thought everything was pretty mundane, you know, considering what did happen in the previous game.
I wonder how much, well, I guess I can think of two factors there.
Because, like, you know, no one, the Browns didn't, I'm not blaming, it was even on both sides. Like, everyone was cut pretty even keel.
I think one thing that helped is that none of the players that were involved in that situation were there at the game. Or playing in the game, at least.
Right. Yeah, this is true. That was one thing that I kind of had to laugh, and it's something that we didn't end up covering. They interviewed the Browns after their game last week. And they mentioned that Rudolph had gotten pulled for Hodges. And Sheldon Richardson, I believe, he goes, "Oh, I hope Mason Rudolph starts. I mean, you saw how he played last game, right?" And it was true. You know, again, like, I know we went over it on the previous show, but, like, the game was over. Like, he had thrown his fourth interception when I turned that game off and did not see said incident.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy wasn't wrong. Like, Rudolph played terribly that game, and I guess it was funny that
he started out bad against the Bengals as well there.
And that's the one thing, with as good as the Steelers defense is right now, if the offense just doesn't turn the ball over, they're probably going to be in good shape.
Yeah. Honestly, but if they can score, like, you know, 17 points, something like that, I feel like, you know, get two touchdowns on the field goal, and I feel like they could win just about every game. So that's not too much to ask from an offense, I don't think.
Rudolph was not doing that for them. Like, it was pretty wild that the Steelers did go down 10-0 in this game, and but they had it tied by the half. Just kind of with the sudden second half turnaround.
Yeah, they had a huge drive there at the right before the halftime. That was when Hodges was in there, I believe.
He came in
like in the second quarter, I think, right?
Who?
Hodges? We're talking about the Bengals game?
I believe he came in the third quarter.
Oh, okay.
In the Bengals game.
Oh, I see. All right.
But no, I was talking about the Browns game.
Yeah, I was getting mixed up there. Yeah. It took a couple of, I don't know, that Benny Snell wasn't running too badly, I guess, either. Once, you know, he kind of got rolling there.
He seems like a pretty decent back, and if he can keep himself in the lineup, I was not surprised that I've seen people wondering whether James Conner will be back next season or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just because he's had a lot of his fair share of injury issues over the years.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like he had them at Pittsburgh too. And I'm not him getting cancer is, you know, wholly separate to me from his injuries that were incurred on the field. Because I feel like he came back the following season and got hurt, you know, after his cancer diagnosis. Like, I think he skipped a season, and then he came back. And I believe in the following season after the diagnosis that he got injured in that season, too. And I believe he's been injured every season he's been on the 3 years he's been on the Steelers roster.
Yeah, he did get, and then was it the first game against the Browns that he got re-injured when he came back in?
Yeah, and that, to me, sometimes with re-injuries, I kind of put those on the coach sometimes.
Right.
I guess I know that some players can play with a shoulder wrap on, but when you're a running back who uses your shoulders a lot, you know, if you're a wide receiver, I could see getting away with it. Is a running back, that's just something that I don't think you can mess with. Like, you really need to make sure that thing's 100%. And
a running back is just a crazy position. Like, the amount of punishment that you have to take, like, play after play, like, the biggest guys on the team are, like, trying to tackle you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad one. Like, I guess I understand why in a lot of ways running backs are undervalued now. Like, Shahid always complains about it, about how, like, when we were growing up, running backs were, you know, like, they were probably the stars of the team more than the quarterback.
Yeah,
a lot of times.
Certainly, yeah, more equal, I would say.
Yeah, or at least equal footing.
Right.
And now, like, there are some well-known running backs, but because of everyone has realized that the injury rate at running back is high, I feel like the market on them has kind of come down a little bit. I mean, I think that was one of the reasons why Le'Veon Bell really didn't get much more than what the Steelers were. Much more than the Steelers were going to give him in total.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was delivered different ways, and that's why he chose the Jets deal instead of the Steelers deal. But
got, like, more guaranteed money that way, maybe.
Yeah, but they were ready to give him that contract the year previous, too, is the crazy thing. So, like, there really wasn't any inflation on his price tag in a year.
No, I would have thought it would have probably...
Or just the running back position in general.
And it probably, I don't know. To me, it's not great that you sit out a season in a contract dispute with your employer, necessarily. Like, I don't know if that will increase your value, you know what I mean?
That might have been part of doing business, is no additional monies, really.
Mm-hmm. But getting more guaranteed money is probably not nothing, especially, you know, given the tendency for running backs to get injured. Being able to get that money without, you know, hoping that things go well and you keep playing.
Yeah, I certainly believe that the players in general should get more guaranteed money in the NFL. And just because the injury rate is just really high. And that's why I still wouldn't mind the whole let the practice squad guys dress on Sundays. But no one wants to pay that many employees that much. Because, you know, they do get a different salary than the guys that play in the games. And they always have to have, what, 8 inactive players, I believe? I mean, sometimes a lot of them are just injured, so...
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, it does seem like if you had more people playing, possibly... would help with your injury situation and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it helped with injury, and I think it helped with play, honestly, just because, you know, I do think that that's one of the things that I'm surprised it hasn't hurt the Steelers that much yet. But they definitely miss Stephon Tuitt some. I think the defensive line isn't quite as good without him, especially since he had been a one-man wrecking crew, you know, before he left. I feel like it's been a little more of a group effort since then.
Well, the defensive has been doing pretty good, though, still. And, you know, it's, I guess things turned out pretty good for the Steelers on Sunday, Kevin. But if you're a Browns fan, I guess things were a little bleaker there.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. You had linked this CNN.com article. But I've got to admit, I just the week prior in the gym, I tend to see the same guys in the gym. And there's a Steelers fan there that it talking to a Browns fan, and I kind of jumped in, obviously, on the Steelers side there. But I ran into him at the gym on Monday, and he kind of sounded like this guy in the video. Because he even had... He had a tattoo that said, "I bleed orange and brown," or brown and orange. I can't remember which order it was in.
But... Wow, okay.
So this guy was similarly hardcore. Like, and that was one thing I suppose I did always respect about the Browns fans, is I thought they were completely bonkers. Because Kent State is very close to Cleveland, only about a 45-minute drive. So it is definitely a stronghold of Browns fans. And I was there at Kent when the Browns didn't really exist, except for my freshman year.
Oh, right.
But fans were very loyal and still gave me shit for being a Steelers fan during that period in which they did not have a team. So, I mean, I've always respected the team loyalty that most of these Browns fans have.
For sure. I mean, you've got to give up for loyalty. They've had to suffer through a lot of losing seasons.
Yeah.
And if this one isn't a losing season, I feel like given like the expectations that were, you know, where the expectations were, I guess, at the beginning of the season and, you know, what their record has been, I feel like that's in some ways going to be one of the harder seasons to deal with.
In some ways. Yeah, and it's crazy because that's it. The dude keeps on mentioning to me, the guy in the gym mentioned to me that one of Baltimore's two losses is to the Browns. And he's like, "We blew them out." And I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out how this happened.
Well, if you look at that team, there's a lot of talented players on there, I feel like.
It was definitely, it definitely came down to the Steelers' defensive line definitely did the job this week on a decimated Browns. It's not decimated. They just don't have a good offensive line. And you can have all the fun skill position players that you want, but when your line doesn't block well, it doesn't do you any good.
No, that's true. You do need some people blocking.
You know, because I don't know, like, because this, and I mean, that was one of the big differences. Like, they only let Baker Mayfield get outside the pocket, like, twice, I think, the entire game. Like, the Steelers pass rush did a way better job of keeping him contained and getting to him this game.
I also read, a separate article that I almost put up that was basically saying that, you know, Tomlin is a genius coach. You know, things have swung in a different direction. I feel like Tomlin's stock has been on the rise this season. Going from, you know, your main quarterback being out, like a lot of injuries in general.
Yeah.
And still being, you know, in line for the wild card spot at the moment, right?
Yeah, they are the number two wild card spot. Tennessee, which is why I mentioned them earlier, is also 7-5. And I believe the Raiders at 6-6. And there's another team, maybe Indianapolis. Oh, yeah, Indianapolis is 6-6 also. Okay. But the Steelers have a tiebreaker on any, you know, potential Indianapolis ties. So they're back even further in the pecking order.
All right. Well, yeah, so that's a pretty tremendous accomplishment. Also, I think it was in the same article, they talked about how the Browns offense was coming out with a different look than they had shown, apparently. And so that's why they were having such early success, and they got that touchdown pretty quick. But that Tomlin was basically like drawing up plays on a whiteboard at halftime to like make adjustments, and that was why they were able to basically shut them down in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool, true.
Yeah, it's been... It's kind of funny just because in general, I do feel like I have been very cognizant of the Tomlin haters over the years. And it never really made a whole lot of sense to me, to be honest with you. And I mean, I feel like I remember it happening to Cowher, too, later in his tenure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why people think it's easy for them to win this much. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Tomlin has literally never had a losing season. His worst season is 8-8.
Yeah, if anything.
Like, unfortunately, you get compared against the Patriots, and it's just like, well, no one's that. Like, but no, there aren't very many teams that can say they've done as well over the last, how many years? Like, Tomlin's been there like 15 years now or something.
Right.
It's been a long-ass time. Because I was a little bit surprised that Cowher was only there for like 10 years or something like that.
Oh man, we're both like reaching for our...
yeah, I need to look at the numbers now. But I was a little bit surprised that I felt like Bill Cowher was there a shorter time than I had thought.
Yeah, Chucknell definitely helps out with their, you know, whatever it is that it... They've had like three coaches in 50 years or something.
Oh yeah, because Cowher was 92 to 2006, so Tomlin has been 2006 to now, so he's been around 13 years. Oh, so it's almost as long. He has one more year, and he'll tie Cowher then for how long he's been in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I guess I still did think that it was longer than 14 years for Cowher for some reason or another. You know, it just felt like he had been there for a very long time. It's still, 14 years is still a crazy length of time.
Wow, I believe that does come out to be 50 years of three coaches. Because Noel was a coach for 23 years and retired in 91. Yeah, and then Cowher took over in 92, and so, yeah, 23 plus 14 plus 13 is, 50 years.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if it's just, because there are some dumb things. It's kind of funny that this year, of all the Tomlin things that have happened, him in the red challenge flag, I feel like even when he's thrown them out this year, I haven't been like, oh my God, that's stupid.
No, in this last game, he lost a challenge that I feel like he should have won.
Yeah, he won a challenge already this year. And then, yeah, that one that was not overturned, I was like, huh? Like, even the announcers are like, they're wrong. I'm just going to say that no matter how much you hate insert announcer here, they don't really have something in for your team. Myself included. Yeah. You know, they don't.
And I did like seeing Ian Eagle's high school yearbook photo there, or whatever that was during the game.
Yeah, that was his college.
College. He said he was in a Flock of Seagulls cover band. And I don't know if that's true, but I can believe it.
I believe that he was telling tall tales. That is my vibe of the situation, but I did enjoy that.
I do want to believe it anyway.
And yeah, it was hilarious that the sideline reporter was like a baby model or whatever they were making fun of him for. Because that was another, I guess, factoid that I hadn't really thought about too much. And in some ways it is deceiving that since 1988 was the last time the Browns had swept the Steelers.
88, huh?
Wow. Yeah, so that does count the time period in which there was not a team in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But that is still a crazy amount of time. Like, literally the whole time since they've been back, which was the 99 season. So they've been back for 20 years, and they haven't been able to win back-to-back games that entire time.
Yeah. Well, I guess technically if they did back-to-back over across the seasons, they could have done it. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, in the same season. Yeah, within the same season, they have not. And yeah, I think that's the way to measure it. Like, you've got to... Yeah, you can't say that... No. Just no.
I mean, it is different teams at that point. Like, the same team hasn't won two games, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, no team has stayed together the whole time as a team. Like, even the Patriots teams have had some parts change from championship team to championship team.
Yeah. Pretty natural.
Yeah.
But did we ever talk about this guy?
No, we got off track. Because we were talking about how loyal Browns fans were and how much I had respected them, and we kind of went on a little side road there.
But I think that's part of why I enjoyed this video, because part of me does feel for this Browns fan in this video, who is clearly distraught, I guess, but also not like I wasn't worried for his health or safety or anything. He seemed within the normal realms of sports fandom upsettedness, I would say.
Yeah. I believe that he was a younger gentleman than ourselves.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And I would have to say that these stupid stunts we maybe partook in such activities back in the day. You did start the infamous Jake Plummer role.
Mm.
On New Year's Day against Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think I'd became do that again.
A yearly thing for quite some time. So, I mean, I could definitely see when you're younger, you're kind of more game for doing something crazy like this. And, yeah, this guy, while, again, I guess I compared him to a locker room guy, too, because they hit a lot of the same points, you know? You know, everyone seemed to, like, it was crazy to me that I saw a hashtag on Twitter, like, 4 or 5 games into the season that was Fire Freddie Kitchens. And then the Browns bounced back with some wins, and I'm like, oh my god, it's his first year. Like, are you really gonna do that to him? You know, so, but I'm like, whatever. Maybe he isn't really a good coach. I don't know. Like, personally, I guess. But I don't think he is, just because, like, you'd never, the whole him wearing the Pittsburgh Started It shirt.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I saw that, I almost texted you about it, but then I was like, oh, he's probably already seen this.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that Tomlin would just never do anything like that.
Oh, yeah, and there was Steelers who said that as well, and I agree.
I think that a lot of most coaches in the NFL wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's no way Belichick is going to be pulling that. You're not going to see that out of him ever. It hasn't happened at this point, and you will never see it happen. And there are there are just reasons for that. Like, whatever. Because, I did even see an article, and I didn't look past the headline, honestly, that said Steelers split on whether that fired them up. And it's just like, yeah, like, they were in a very important spot, and that's part of the reason why the kid jumped in the lake, too, is that the Browns season is pretty much shot after losing to the Steelers. Like, the Steelers still would have been in the playoff picture. It would have been a worse situation. But they still would have been in the playoff picture had they lost. But, losing to, for some reason, what they consider their arch rival, which I believe we explained on many a show, that it's just not the case. Like, Baltimore is Pittsburgh's rival, and that is end of story.
Yeah, they were the rival before they moved from Cleveland and
to Baltimore.
Continued to be the rival afterwards, it seems like.
Definitely the Browns fans see us as the rival still.
I started to feel that way this season a little bit, like the rivalry was coming back after that first loss and shenanigans at the end of the game there.
Yeah, and I do think it was a good decision it was a good decision on Mike Tomlin's part to keep Rudolph out of this game for play. You know, like Sheldon Richardson said, he just didn't play good against the Browns the first time.
No.
And Hodges probably could have played better. His interception was probably slightly ill-advised.
No, I don't think that Hodges is, a great quarterback, but he at least is able to throw the ball down the field or able to see receivers down the field. I'm not sure what the issue is with Rudolph, but he just doesn't seem to be able to, because I don't think it's the offensive coordinators, calling different plays or anything.
Oh.
I just don't understand why they would.
You've got to call so many, and everyone says it week in and week out, and they're not wrong, that you've got to throw the ball deep, especially considering that everyone's kind of crowding for the run anyway against the Steelers because they're on their third or technically fourth string quarterback. And, you've got to kind of test the quarterback and stop the run early. So if you stretch out the defense a little bit, you can run and you complete a couple of those passes, it makes things look a lot better. And Hodges had a couple of huge throws to James Washington this week.
Yeah. That one catch that Washington made while someone was, trying to rip his head off, basically, was pretty impressive. One of the better catches I can remember seeing.
Yeah, that was one where if they overturned that, I'm like, whatever, they just take the penalty and they're on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
that was one of those situations where, I think he made the catch.
Mm-hmm.
That
was a tremendous amount of concentration there.
Yeah, but B, if had the worst happened, I would have been not as mad as this Browns fan that we keep on forgetting to talk about.
Yeah, did we mention that he jumped into Lake Erie in November?
Yeah, when it's 20 degrees out.
Yeah.
He went to a little polar bear club.
Yeah.
I think in my younger days I may have conceived of some thing like this.
Yeah.
Good thing I did not have Instagram Live or whatever he was broadcasting on.
It seemed like he had it really timed out well. Like, he was talking in his car for a little while and then got out and walked, presumably, to the
I was gonna say the game was in Pittsburgh, so he needed to be in Cleveland somewhere.
Could have been watching on television, I suppose.
Yeah. He seemed remarkably uninebriated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, this was a clear-headed decision.
This was definitely a clear-headed decision. Well, it would seem that it was a clear-headed decision, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And again, I think I would have made this decision at some point. So I don't, whatever, you know. People love, and people do kind of love attention at this point. You know, everyone does love their 2 seconds of fame. Because he did say that he was excited that it went viral. And it seems like any time a team, like, continually disappoints, there are all kinds of videos, I feel like this one, that end up getting their moment in the sun, and they're just as quickly forgotten about.
Right.
Because I don't think we'll keep on hearing from this guy in the in the near future.
You feel like the nation is not going to be turning, you know, towards this young man and getting him to weigh in on different, you know, issues of the day.
Other Browns related topics.
Should we fire Freddie Kitchens?
He's going to become, what is it, Joe Plummer?
Oh, Joe the Plumber. That's right.
Joe the Plumber. Yeah, I don't think he's going to become the next Joe the Plumber. If anyone gets that pull, I'm happy for you. Yeah, but, you know, that was, and it was kind of funny. The kid said it on his way into the lake. He's like, Pittsburgh started it and Pittsburgh finished it. And, yeah, I definitely saw that in the immediate aftermath of that game, because they did, like, again, like, no one kind of acted, untoward each other, and the Steelers, like you said, like, no matter whether Tomlin was drawing those plays up or, you know, whatever, they made the adjustment to shut down. You know, they only gave up 3 points after the first 10.
Right.
Like, again, like you said, like, if this offense scores 17 points, they are in a game, you know, and they probably could win it. And it's going to be ugly. Like, it's going to be one of those Trent Dilfer is the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, and their defense is so great it wins them a Super Bowl, you know? Like, you just need someone, and I love the way Tomlin put it, Duck just doesn't, he doesn't need to kill us.
He didn't kill us.
He didn't kill us.
I mean, the announcer, or I think it was like Ian Eagle, was talking about him, like, right before he threw that huge play to
the interception.
No. Okay, yeah, there was that play also.
Yes, he cursed him.
Yeah,
too.
Well, he was talking specifically about him not having thrown interceptions, and then he immediately threw an interception. But before that, he was talking about how he felt like he didn't need to put on a cape to, you know, be a hero, basically. And then he said something like, "Well, but I feel like." But it seems like the Steelers are asking something from him now, because, you know, they're having trouble running, I think, at the time.
Oh.
And then he threw that, like, 40-yarder to Washington, I think.
Yeah, the sideline pass.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, that was Washington. His two of those catches were incredible, just because that was another one where it was fairly well defended, and he had to catch it over his shoulder. And he didn't have a whole lot of space to get both feet in bounds. And that was pretty incredible. And that's even the one thing that everyone mentioned, how Rudolph and Washington played together at Oklahoma State. But for some reason, Rudolph doesn't even feel comfortable enough to throw to Washington.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that if he'd throw long, he would only throw to Washington. But Hodges has no problem letting it rip.
Yeah, it seems like Rudolph must have thrown it for a lot of yards in college. He seemed like he had some good stats, so.
Yeah, he did. He had a lot of stuff, you know, like, it was one of those, I remember it was an indicator of NFL success of having a lot of playing time in college. Mm. And I feel like he started 3 years. Like, I don't think he started freshman year, but I think he was sophomore, junior, senior.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So that's a nice track record, and I do believe he holds a lot of records at Oklahoma State still. So yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense why he can't kind of get comfortable enough. And again, maybe it's one of those things just because Hodges is more mobile, and that's certainly a dynamic that he's not going to become Lamar Jackson anytime soon. But he did make a couple of first downs with his feet during the course of the game.
That is true.
And that is definitely something that is not going to happen with Rudolph at all. Like, he's not going to pull off some weird spin move. But if it's third and six and the middle of the field's open, and everyone's covered, I think he's got your 7 yards in you to get the first down and keep the chains going. So that is certainly a dynamic that, with the line maybe not being the best this year, someone who's a little more mobile, I think, has a little more chance. And that was another thing where, Rudolph kind of needs to be more like a kind of a Tom Brady slash, and he's big enough to be a Roethlisberger, but he doesn't seem to want to shed tacklers the way Roethlisberger would. But he needs to be more like Tom Brady, who kind of like just shuffles around the pocket some to find those empty spaces to throw the ball. And because there were so many times where I think Rudolph couldn't find the space to have the right footwork when he did throw improperly.
Yeah.
And Hodges seems a little bit better suited to shifting around in the pocket a little bit to find a good spot to, make sure that he kind of throws properly.
Yeah, I could see that. It's whatever the case being, I feel like I still haven't seen any duck merchandise in the Steelers store. Although I feel like we're getting pretty close to that.
I guess he
by the playoffs, I would say if they make it in with him and the quarterback. They make it in the playoffs. I feel like we got to see some. They did have like a rubber ducky Steelers rubber ducky at the store, but I feel like that was probably pre Hodges. Yeah,
yeah. I would not be surprised by it if that was just there. But people were bringing in their own duck stuff to the game.
Yeah,
there were a number of duck fuzzy hats and just duck hats. It's already caught on, and again, if he doesn't kill them, I think he stays in. Like, at this point, I think he stays in there. Like, Tomlin does really know how good this defense is, and if the quarterback just doesn't kill them, they will they'll go somewhere. Like, I don't know if the Super Bowl thing will happen, but I see it not out of the realm of possibility now. Like, it's crazy to say that. More than not, I think that honestly their offensive limitations will end up hurting them at some point.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's going to catch up to them, but getting to the playoffs is a pretty major feat considering everything that's gone wrong.
Well, would that be the first time a team has gone 0-3 and then made the playoffs? It can't have happened very often.
It's not very much. Okay. They showed the stat after they went 0-3, and it's like two or three teams, I think.
Yeah.
Over the course of the NFL history. But I do feel like they've mentioned that the ones that have happened more recently.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's just the way the NFL is structured now that is causing that to happen more. Maybe it is just because of the schedule, and a lot of people did kind of point that out, is that the Steelers had their Patriots game, first game of the season, and the defense isn't what the defense then was not the defense now.
No, for sure.
That's
Minka Fitzpatrick trade was huge. And I think another reason that Tomlin is being seen in a different light these days. if that trade hadn't turned out, I think people would for sure still be fired up about Tomlin.
Yeah. The fact that that trade has been like, at this point, everyone's like, yeah, it was worth it. Like, you just can't argue against it at this point.
Yeah, when a player makes that much of a difference, I don't know, has he had like 5 interceptions or something like that this year?
Yeah, I believe that he has not had any the last couple of games, but I do feel like, you know, he's one of those guys that sometimes when you don't hear his name, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's not going to pull a... a lot of people have obviously been bringing up Troy Polamalu's name as being, as you know, a safety that is that good. Yeah. But Fitzpatrick's such a different player than Polamalu that, you know, the comparison kind of ends there. You know, that he's just that type of a game changer.
Yeah, he's very good, though.
Yeah, he's much more of a cover guy than a, hey, I'm going to jump the line and tackle the running back behind the line of scrimmage kind of a guy.
Right.
But hey, you know, they greatness comes in all shapes and sizes, and
it's been working out pretty good for him, I guess.
Yeah, in abilities. So yeah. Well, we did mention that the Steelers' opponent before this game that we did not really talk about was against the Bengals.
Oh, right. And we probably should cover the other Ohio team here a little bit.
Yeah, they were the meat in the Browns sandwich here.
And I do remember, Kevin, I don't know if you can recall this, but during the Steelers-Bengals game, there was a camera that was they cut to during the game to show a man who is a Cincinnati Bengals fan. And had been spending, well, it ended up being 57 days on his roof of the, well, it turned out, I thought it was his house, but it was actually a restaurant that he owned, in a tent. And this was back in, okay, so this was back in week 4 after the Bengals got pasted by the Steelers, 27-3.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's in Indiana.
Yeah, he's, oh, yes, you're just rereading the story, huh?
Yeah, this guy, Jeff Lanham, said he'd be living on the roof of his Hog Rock Cafe if Cincinnati didn't beat the Cardinals the following week. And he'd stay there until his team won its first game. After they lost, he went up on the roof. I mean, I don't understand how what kind of life this guy leads that he's just able to decide that he's going to live on the roof.
This is what's more amazing to me about this story. It's not that he lived on the roof in Indiana in some very cold temperatures, I might add.
Yeah, I mean, the tent did not look super, you know, thick or warm or anything. It was like plastic tarp, basically.
Yeah, and I feel like they mentioned that there were temperatures that dipped as low as 20 degrees, which is markedly cold.
Yeah, that's cold.
When I had to walk the dogs and I saw that it was 20 degrees out, I did not like it. So, yeah, but he did have heaters up there. I was more amazed by the fact that evidently his employees were okay with this.
Yeah. Well, they...
Like, I guess he doesn't really do anything at the restaurant.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, okay, I presume he has, like, managers and things if he's the owner. I don't know how big a restaurant this is either.
Well, he has at least one manager.
But to be... So he actually did get his waitresses and cooks to bring food up to him on the roof, and he would eat the food.
Yeah, and
up there.
His wife came up and did his laundry, and he went into the bar, on the second floor of the bar, to shower and to clean up. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was just up the, you know, he was not up there 24/7. But he was up there close to that, and he said he just ate and watched TV up there. And it's just like, I was like, you didn't have any paperwork to do or anything for the restaurant?
Yeah. He said he was getting bored from watching Netflix so much.
I mean, I still can't imagine that it would get quite boring being in one location all of the time.
Yeah, basically, it seems like basically 24/7.
Yeah, because even if he did do some paperwork while he was up there, I would imagine it would still not be a terribly large amount of work that he would need to do. I'm not figuring that this guy owns an empire of restaurants, plural.
It didn't seem like it. And I just wonder how his life was structured before this, I guess, that he's so casually able to live on a roof for almost 60 days.
Yeah, well, and this is another one that goes against my theorem that with the Browns fan, that it's the younger people that do this. Because this gentleman definitely was, I'm not sure if they mentioned his age in the article. I do feel like just from the looks of him, he is an older gentleman.
Yeah, I would have guessed in his 50s maybe, but
It does not really.
Hold on, no, I take that back. He is a 42-year-old.
Oh,
father of two.
Yeah, I must have missed that.
No, I was checking a different article here, actually.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm digging a little deeper.
Hey, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I do think that the craziest part is that his wife came and did his laundry. Like, if I told my wife that I was doing that, she'd just tell me no. Like, that would be the beginning and end of the discussion.
Right. I cannot see how that would work.
And I guess I wouldn't want to do that. Like, no matter how terrible my team was, like, that just...
How is that helping anything?
I guess unless he thinks that he'll get more traffic now at his restaurant by pulling this stunt.
That could be possible. It probably wouldn't hurt business. Especially while he was up there, right? You think people would come by and yell things at him?
Yeah. it would seem like the thing to do, in my opinion. And I guess I'm not surprised that it's an Indiana person, just because the Indiana border is not that far away.
Yeah.
Down in Cincinnati.
I didn't check to see where this was located relative to Cincinnati, but yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just know some contractors that work that kind of it's a tri-state area, the Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky are all kind of in a very short vicinity there.
Near Cincinnati?
Yeah, near Cincinnati.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that there is a Bengals fan in Indiana. Hey, I hope it did get him some foot traffic.
It's just, yeah, it's a really a head scratcher there as to how he was able to pull this off.
Yeah, I guess if I were the employees, I'd be like, I can't believe I'm tolerating this bullshit.
Well, it's more his family.
The wife, like, again, yeah, I guess to go back to the wife, it's just like, you're not going to help me with the kids at all.
I guess.
No, I'm living on a tent on the roof here until the Bengals win in 57 days.
Yeah. 24/7.
Yeah.
Well, like, basically with little breaks to go to the bathroom or whatever.
2 months.
Right. Yeah. That's too much. Way too much.
Yeah. Like jumping into a lake is like a very obviously short term thing.
Yes. If you don't die of pneumonia or something, which I don't think that happened to this guy. So that's good.
They're polar bear clubs. I hope people have figured this shit out by now. Even if you don't know how to solve the problem, well, get back in your car and just hit full blast on your...
Yeah.
And stripped down is probably for the best.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, that should be a short-term thing. 57 days is a long-ass time to be doing nothing.
Right. I mean, just, what, lay in your sleeping bag, with turn on the heater, watch Netflix all day long? I mean...
I mean, I would probably snap after about 3 days. Honestly, like, if that's all I were doing, like, I'd go stir crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. And then there's, like, yeah, your other responsibilities. I don't know. That's craziness, but yeah. Yeah,
I guess I'm just trying to cover all angles at this point. Because it just defies logic that the wife didn't bring the kids over and the kids are like, hey, dad, come back home, jackass.
Yeah.
But they're just like, nah, that's cool. Dad's out of it. Peace.
He doesn't like his family very much. That's
but why would she be doing his laundry still?
Maybe she's like, well, hey, at least he's out of the house. I don't have to deal with him.
She's viewing it as a net positive herself.
It's like, all right, I'll drive once a week and get the laundry.
Then there is that angle to be had.
That's basically the only thing that makes sense in my mind. So I don't know. I'm sure it's very unfair, but I can't help it.
Oh, well, Ken, it is... sometimes unfair how good beers are.
Mm.
And your selection for this week is one of my favorite light drinking IPAs. If you really like the grapefruit, this one is for you. BrewDog Elvis Juice. It almost just, it tastes like a juice almost.
Yeah, like a grapefruit juice, I would say.
Yeah, like it is considered a fruit beer. It is fairly hoppy, though. So it does kind of have IPA tendencies.
Just checking out the alcohol, 6.5% here.
Yeah, and it's not overly, like, heavy. Like, it's, you know, it's definitely on the... heavier scale, but it is not a knock you out kind of. At least have to go over 7% to start talking about being heavier.
Yeah,
I think I maybe 7.5 really is probably my over under point for like middle of the road beers, like 5 to 7.5%.
I thought the grapefruitiness, gives it a nice refreshing flavor.
Yeah, I always feel like the IPAs kind of have like they dry out your palate a little bit.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't do that. Like it's kind of like a Bud Light-y type IPA where like I could keep on drinking that pretty easy.
Yeah. So... and it's, they're headquartered locally, so.
Yeah, and nice. You can, it's one of the beers that I think you can get in the entire OPA region. Uh-huh. I know that they have at least spread to New York and a few other cities here in the United States. So, yeah, this is one that many people might be able to get their hands on, unlike a lot of our beers that are definitely Columbus-specific. But like you said, hey, production plants in Canal Winchester, if you want to get really picky.
Yeah.
But in the greater Columbus area. So, yeah, Bell Time Beer of the Week. I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Gozer33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
See you guys.